This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Has Lamar gotten any offer sheets? Anyone coming? I know that's two questions, but...
Rich Eisen.
What's the latest there?
It is a challenging situation to read at present, Rich. The two first-round pick, a fully or nearly fully guaranteed contract.
Earlier on the show, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Coming up, Bucks linebacker Lavonte David. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is now on the air here in Los Angeles, California, where it's sunny outside. I'm sure everybody around the country has enjoyed hearing us complaining about the rain here.
I didn't know I'd act this morning.
It's great. This big yellow thing in the sky is called the sun.
Sun.
You used to see it around here quite a bit. We're here on the Roku channel for free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, and the RokuChannel.com. It's because on the Roku app we're free because the Roku channel is free within it. We had a great second hour chat with the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, who made it seem like they're not completely set in stone on having the pitch clock in the ninth inning of games, which is great because, as I pointed out, the whole Ohtani Trout confrontation that wrapped up the World Baseball Classic, every single pitch was a violation. And I like the drama building. You know what I'm saying? And I think he understood what I was saying.
He picked it.
And so we had a great chat with him in hour number two. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here in hour number three. If you missed that conversation, we were first 2 hours. We re-air right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. In this hour, we'll talk about Will Levis's pro day. He did show up with the aforementioned cannons on full display. We'll talk about one of the top quarterbacks available in this year's draft out of Kentucky. And also, what's more likely, a usual Friday staple as we get set for more March Madness activity tonight after last night's great games between Gonzaga and UCLA and Kansas State and Michigan State and Florida Atlantic upsetting Tennessee, UConn advancing as well. Joining us on the phone line is one of four individuals, now that he is re-signed to stay with Tampa for a 12th consecutive season after being drafted in 2012 by the team out of Nebraska. The fourth member of an exclusive club, individuals who have played a dozen consecutive years for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Paul Gruber, Hall of Famer Derek Brooks, and soon-to-be Hall of Famer Rondae Barber. Joining us on this program is someone who's joining that select group, Lavonte David of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How you doing, Lavonte?
That's great, great. I'm doing great. How about you, Rich?
How's that introduction for you? How about that one?
That was amazing. Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you. I was going to comment on it. That was pretty good.
How about that?
Appreciate that.
12 years in a row, Lavonte, in Tampa.
Yeah.
That is quite an achievement, obviously, in this league, and certainly at a position where you throw your body around the way that you do. I wonder what you think of when you hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I greatly appreciate the organization for sticking with me. You know, glory to God, as always. And, you know, I must be doing something right on the field, keeping me around, you know, just trying to stay productive as much as I can. And then to be mentioned with the names like those guys you said, it's definitely an honor, you know, because I know a couple of those guys personally. I know how much it meant to those guys. So for me to be mentioned in the same breath as those guys is definitely a blessing.
Well, it's not just the team, you know, giving you the opportunity. It's you.
Yeah.
Taking the opportunity that the Bucs gave you as opposed to what other teams might have been offering you in free agency. Is it true the Bills were knocking on your door as well?
Yeah, I heard a little chatter. You know, it was basically like when things just started to get a little tight with me and the Bucs, you know, when I was about to, you know, when everything about to get, you know, the deal was about to be closed, I started hearing a little chatter from the Bills late. But, you know, I was already, you know, locked in Tampa. That's where I wanted to be, you know, obviously for obvious reasons. But I was in, then just to, you know, continue my football career there and continue to have fun on the field there, I wouldn't want any other place.
So does that mean you told Von Miller the word no, Lavonte? Is that true? Is that what I'm telling you?
I didn't have no conversation with Von.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe if he would have reached out, probably it would have been a different conversation.
Ah, okay. Okay. I understand. Well, then what are the obvious reasons to re-sign in Tampa then? Lay it out for me.
Just the camaraderie I built with the guys on the team, you know, and obviously, you know, being there my whole career. And then the bond that I have with Coach Bowles and Coach Larry Foote and the coaching staff. And then just, you know, staying true to what I want to do. I feel like I built a legacy there. The city of Tampa loves me, and I've been doing great, great community work there. So I just want to keep that up. So, you know, that's probably what the main reason why I came back, and obviously get another opportunity to play football, get another snap at run, winning a division. We won a division back to back. You know, obviously, you know, this year's a different year. So it definitely should be a fun go-around.
Well, I mean, and those are all completely understandable reasons why you want to resign. And the legacy one is something that's, you know, you can't touch because that's something you've built, something you've earned, and it's something that you had the opportunity to continue. I totally get it. But from just a, I guess, outside fans' point of view looking at it, it does appear that the Buccaneers are in a retooling mode.
Yeah.
What would you say to that, Levante?
Yeah, I mean, you know, me going into my 12th year, that definitely was another, you know, factor that, you know, kind of helped me weigh into my decision. Because, you know, when I had a long talk with the GM, you know, he told me, you know, a lot of people saying rebuild. But, you know, if it was a rebuild, a lot of the guys would have been gone, you know. So, and it made sense. You know, we lost our quarterback due to retirement and then lost a couple of guys due to, you know, the cap and things like that. But the majority of the core guys are still there. So it definitely, you know, made sense to me. And I feel like we still got the pieces to be able to make noise in our division and get a chance to get in the playoffs.
So that theory, supposition on the part of fans that Brady's gone and, you know, and Fournette's gone and, you know, there is a cap ramifications to Brady retiring. You brought this up with Jason Light, the idea that there's a retool going on. You actually mentioned that to the GM that signed you?
I mean, I want to know, you know, is this a rebuild type year? Are y'all just starting all over? And then, you know, it made sense. And he was like, nah, it's not a rebuild yet. We just retooling, making some tweaks here and there. But, you know, majority of the roster is still intact. Just had to, you know, unfortunately make some cap casualties. And then, obviously, we lost our quarterback due to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing what made people think is the rebuild year because we lost our, you know, all-real quarterback. But, you know, feel like we got a guy in Baker Mayfield and then Kyle Trask. Those guys will compete and fight and see where we go from there. But, you know, defensively, we have a lot of the key guys back. And offensively, we got a lot of our key weapons back, like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, so we definitely got the tools to compete in the division, and it's also in the NFL.
Levante David here on the Rich Eisen Show. Three-time All-Pro linebacker has re-signed for a 12th consecutive year in Tampa, one of only four guys to ever have that distinction right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So a Nebraska guy can play with an Oklahoma guy? Is that true? That can actually happen, Levante?
Yeah, I thought it couldn't happen, but it ended up happening with me and my guy, man, Gerald McCoy. You know,
that's right.
When I met Jerry McCoy my rookie year, he was an Oklahoma guy. So I said, you know, those guys not that bad. And me and Joe still have a long-lasting friendship, you know, outside of football. So he's been like a mentor to me, a big brother. So it could work out.
Got it. It's got you all set for Baker Mayfield's arrival. Now, you mentioned Baker just moments ago. He's a quarterback who can, on occasion, wake up dangerous. Have you connected with him at all yet, Baker?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't had a connection, conversation with him yet. But you know, we follow each other on Instagram, on social media, and I'm sure, you know, sooner or later we'll get a chance to sit down and talk, you know, face to face. I'm sure he's gonna ask me for advice on, you know, the city and you know how to be, you know, a leader in the organization, which I've been blessed to be for the past 8-9 years. So definitely. You know, give him some advice on that part. But in the day, man, you know, the locker room, you know, accepts whoever. You know, I feel like that's the main thing, you know, with the culture we built. And, you know, guys just buying in to what we're trying to do and upholding that standard. I think that's what I think he'll fit in pretty well.
Well, I spoke to Baker just a couple days ago, Levante. So let me fill you in. He's got a golden doodle Irish setter named Mr. Fergus. So hopefully you're a dog rescue guy because he and his wife are dog rescue.
Golden doodles.
Oh, you have a golden doodle yourself?
I don't have one, but I love them though.
Okay, it's a golden doodle Irish setter, a beautiful looking dog. We're showing it on the screen right here. So when you watch this back later. He's also genuinely jacked to have this opportunity. As you know, his career and how things have gone, I pointed out to him, thank goodness he left, that he, just like his dog, knows how it's like to be rescued from the dog pound. we all know his journey to land in Tampa, and how Tampa is a spot, and I understand Kyle Trask is there for a competition, a starting role. There's not a lot of starting roles out there, and there's not a lot of Mike Evans, not a lot of Godwins, not a lot of Russell Gages. I mean, this is ready-made, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way with Baker showing up there.
Yeah, I do feel the same way. Baker is, you know, obviously talented. He had his moments, you know, where the talent showed. And I feel like, you know, what direction we're going and what we're trying to build on, I think the locker room, get him comfortable, and you won't have to put a lot of things on his shoulders. You know, there won't be a lot of pressure on him. You know, it's a team game, so all we expect him to do is just come in and do his job and let everything else take care of itself.
Okay. And so what do you say to Bucks fans? You know, you are the OG.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you say to them?
You know, just get ready for another exciting, fantastic year. You know, last year didn't go the way we wanted to go. A lot of ups and downs last year. A lot of things that, you know, we weren't happy with. We didn't play to our standard, but it's a new year. And you guys get ready. You know, almost every game last year was probably sold out, and it was fun. And I'm hoping the same happens this year, because it's definitely going to be a fun year, and we're ready to get after it.
So give me your, as I let you go on with your Good Friday, Levante David, your favorite Tom Brady story.
My favorite Tom Brady story.
Yes, from maybe his first year, his first arrival, anything. Yeah. What do you got for me?
My favorite Tom Brady story, I believe he was 7-5 going to the bye week in 2020.
Yes, sir.
Before we made the run.
I recall.
And I remember we had like a 2-game losing streak or a 3-game losing streak, one of them. And then I remember during the bye week, me and Tom ran into each other, and he came to me, and he was like, trust me, we're going to turn this thing around. We're not going to lose another game. And – you know, that kind of stood out to me, and we didn't lose another game, even on winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was right.
And, I already had major a ton of respect for him right there, but the look I see in his eyes was like no other, and I knew it was going to happen, and he took us there.
Where was it, the supermarket? Were you just, like, in the produce aisle, or you just ran into your carts connected and, you know, ran into each other? Or like, where was it?
We was in the facility.
Okay.
We ran into each other in the hallway. I was walking out going to the players lounge, and he was coming from somewhere, and I saw him, and we went to talking, and he said that. I'm like, okay, I'm on the ride with you, and it didn't happen.
Correct. And I remember, because you guys lost to Kansas City, the team who you eventually saw back in that building and beat in that building for the Super Bowl. Yeah. You lost. I mean, Tyreek Hill had something like 200 yards receiving in the first quarter alone.
Yeah.
And that's the way that you guys went to 7-5, and there was a general sense of, well, that's the way the first year for Brady in Tampa is going to go. And so just one last strand to pull here. What made him say that, do you think? What made him say that to you?
I mean, obviously, you know, the doubters out there, you know, people was talking and saying, you know, I think it was chatter saying, well, if we make it to the playoffs, we'll lose in the first round, or we better get it together, and things like that. But I'm sure, you know, it was in the back of his mind, and then obviously it was in the back of mine. But I knew eventually, you know, we was going to turn around. All we needed was a little spark, and we got it from somewhere. Maybe it was that conversation. It was from him. And everything just turned around. Everybody came back ready to go, and everything just clicked. Everything was just going our way.
Levante David, thanks for the time. Congrats on the 1-year deal, the 12th year in a row for you in Tampa. Let's keep it up. Let's keep up the communication. I always appreciate it when you take the time to call into the show. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Rich. Thank you for having me.
You got it. It's Levante David. 12 years now, and hopefully for him, counting in Tampa right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does that surprise you that Brady's like, we're not going to lose another game? And then they didn't lose another game.
Not surprising.
I mean, what a great story from Levante David right there. Yeah, we were just running each other that 2020 season. Here I am like, what'd you run each other? A supermarket? We're like, duh, we were all shut down as a country. No one was really walking around a supermarket.
Imagine if they were in the self-checkout line.
Well, that would have been big, because I'm sure the Buccaneers were like, everybody stay home and everybody stay in the facility. And it was in the facility when they were in their bye week after losing to the Kansas City Chiefs to drop to 7-5, and they're like saying to each other, I guess, what's happening? And Brady's like, we got this. We're not going to lose another game. And then they didn't.
Let's get it on.
And that's the sort of can-do mentality that's going to be brought to the front offices of the Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA, a new part owner of said team, announced yesterday, Tom Brady.
Love it.
Now, he is a partner of Mark Davis's. So, does he put Mark Davis on the TB12 system? Let's see. Is it possible that he will, now that he's part of the Las Vegas Aces, say, on behalf of Kelsey Plum, can we reverse the Darren Waller thing?
Can we just get him back?
I just love you shouted out Kelsey Plum.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Brady can help too.
That's true.
Parts of...
Granted, yeah.
Of the Mark Davis world.
Remember, she was a big fan, and Brady like sent her a care package with a signed jersey and everything, and she went crazy. You remember when she posted that video last year?
She can get Brady's autograph now on a paycheck.
Also, what I like is, you know, since Kobe passed, you know, he was a big proponent of growing the women's game and the WNBA. So
yes.
Hopefully, you know, there's a lot of NBA players who were definitely, like, hyping them up. And now, you know, hopefully Tom Brady is able to, you know, bring some new eyes to that league.
Absolutely.
Well, as Brady pointed out in his statement, you know, the women in his family, he's got three older sisters.
That's right.
They were the athletes of the house. He was the youngest. He was the baby.
It is pretty cool, man.
He grew up loving women's sports.
And if he starts getting in more and more involved in Mark Davis's business ventures, so be it. Mm-hmm.
Here's, you know what? I never
Vegas
wish
Raiders it, owner?
Guys,
what?
I
say what? What did you say?
Brady becomes part owner of the Raiders?
I didn't say that.
Okay,
did I?
All right.
I never wish ill will on anybody. But here's a scenario. What if something were to happen to the Raiders' new quarterback and he can't play?
This guy.
Does Mark Davis kind of go, I don't wish ill will on nobody. I'm just giving you a scenario.
That guy.
Jimmy G, maybe something happens, you know.
This
you
guy.
Know,
or
arm, wrist, knee.
Who's the backup quarterback right now in Vegas?
Tom Brady?
Who is it?
No, they
Who's
just,
on the flow chart? Didn't they just sign somebody? Didn't they also sign somebody?
Did they sign Tom Brady, though?
Well, you know, no.
Well,
okay, so he's not as good as Tom Brady.
They did not sign Tom Brady.
Who's the backup quarterback?
I don't know. It says Chase Garbers right now.
Oh, that's right. He was the only quarterback on their roster. He was the only quarterback they had under contract going into the combine was Chase Garbers.
With all due respect,
hit the hyperlinks to explain to TJ who Chase Garbers is, Chris. You want to?
No, it's all you. I don't know who Chase Garbers is.
I don't have the internet open to him. You think I know who Chase Garbers is?
He's a Cal, went to Cal, 6'2", 215.
He's got the stuff.
He's 23 years old.
It's going to be...
He looks like Cousin Greg.
He's going to be... is that right?
Kind of.
Huh.
Cousin Greg, backup quarterback for the...
Again, with all due respect to Chase
Garbers.
He's talking
about a different type of succession over there.
Hey, now.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I will just say this. On behalf of the Rich Eisen Show and Chase Garbers as well, there he is. There's Chase Garbers right there. He does look like Greg.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cousin Greg.
I don't know.
He does look like Cousin Greg.
Oscar's just had his.
I don't know who Cousin Greg is, but.
That's Succession, TJ. Okay. Get on board.
Oh, yeah, baby.
He's got a few more days.
Succession's coming back on Sunday.
The final.
Yeah,
I can't say the rest.
For sure. Does that make McDaniels the Tom Wamsgans of the Raiders?
I don't know.
At any rate, on behalf of Brady and the Raiders and this show, don't start any rumors about Tom Brady.
I just offered a scenario.
He's done.
Like Tribe Called Quest.
Don't start.
Here we go, yo. What's the scenario?
We are better than throwing out rumors about Tom Brady's career. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm told I started a complete fire on that front about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm told it's still very Googleable.
We're not better.
I'm told it's the top rumor I came back from the combine with, and the other three after it were...
Once you nail
Aaron Rodgers,
right.
The Packers are hoping Aaron Rodgers tells them he doesn't want to come back. Things aren't all that great between the Ravens and Lamar, and the Bears are way down the road trading the first overall draft choice. And since then, they traded the draft choice.
Well, all three of those have really come true.
And Lamar got slapped with the franchise tag that allows him to check other things out, and Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers and the Jets are still in a set two. So don't don't start any rumors about Brady. It's not good for us.
Like I said, it wasn't a rumor. It was just more of a what
if. I mean, just don't even place it out there.
Yeah,
but hey, what if it happens and then we can look back on this day and say, hey.
Nailed it.
You just know that Brady has more influence in the Mark Davis world if he starts showing up, sipping on arugula smoothies, you know.
He's
all rocked up. And don't believe it, though, because the last time we saw him all courtside in Vegas, it was without hair, and we thought that was real. And we didn't think there was any human being on planet Earth that would actually spend a second of their time placing on the internet fake bald photographs of Mark Davis.
Have you never been to the internet?
So, there's all of that. Headline, Tom Brady is now a part owner of the Las Vegas Aces. And that's it. Mm. Don't start anything else. But he is in Las Vegas. Should they need any other services that he can provide, is what you're saying.
Just saying.
So what's up? Is that it?
That is it. All right, we'll come back. Talk about Will Levis's pro day and what's more likely, a fun Friday staple of the Rich Eisen Show when we come back. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's go to the phone lines. Rami in Montana returns to the program. How you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing, fellas?
I'm good. What's going on?
What's up, Ron?
First of all, I definitely agree with Turzo on kind of feeling bad for Lamar. I think one thing I wanted to point out was the difference between Lamar and Richard Sherman negotiating a contract is, first of all, it's Lamar's mommy, and Richard Sherman's a Stanford graduate. That's a massive difference.
I hear you. You know, I don't. You know, I know you say mommy, and you know, and I understand. You know, you're having your fun there. It's just that Lamar. I wouldn't feel for him. I mean, he's universally loved. I mean, who doesn't like the guy? And
I just think he put himself in a bad situation.
I hear you, and I appreciate the call, Rami. You be well. Thanks for calling back. You know, I don't want to infantilize the man. I mean, and that's what people always point out. Like, you know, it looks. I don't know if he cares how it looks at all. You know, it looks like he's screaming for his mom in the basement for meatloaf, and then when it comes down time to negotiate, it's like, you know, him and his buddy Dirk trying to get his tapes back, you know? Nice. But what it is right now, it's an LP, a Lamar problem. That how does he get paid in the manner in which he wants to get paid? And I proffer to say that, you know, this is why I thought the Ravens were going to give him the non-exclusive franchise tag and say, we've tried it ourselves. You go and find it. You go and find it. The problem is it's the circumstances that the franchise tag, the non-exclusive franchise tag places on it is a market depressor. Two first round picks. And it happens, you know, on the first day of the new league year when everybody else has signed Jimmy G or signed Baker Mayfield or gone to visit Aaron Rodgers for dinner and signed Derek Carr. Those are four teams that are out there for a potential market for Lamar Jackson that already took their intentions elsewhere before you could even legally talk to Lamar, and he didn't have an agent to reach out to teams to say, don't do it, New Orleans. What do you think about my guy? Don't do it, Tampa. Wouldn't you want South Florida's finest coming there? I know you got a cap problem, but Lamar will do this, that, the other thing. And instead, the individual is apparently that type of stalking horse is somebody nobody's ever heard of and isn't certified. And then now the league has sent out this letter, and this is a branding issue for Lamar. But in terms of feeling sorry for him, he's universally loved. He's generationally talented, and he's about to make $32 million playing a sport that he does love. He loves ball. That's what I keep hearing about him. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. You ready for it, Christopher? Then we'll get to Will Levis's Pro Day.
Let's do it.
All right, here we
go. Friday, baby.
It's a Friday fun segment. What's more likely? Hit it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Chris, what do you got over there?
I know
you got a lot of stuff.
Happy Friday. Ready for the weekend?
What up, yo?
We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers a lot, right?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, yeah. What do you got?
What's more likely to happen first?
Aha.
Aaron Rodgers puts on a Jets jersey?
Yes.
Or Aaron Judge hits his 10th home run?
Love it.
Ooh.
This is good stuff, Chris. All right, let's sound it out. Yankees opening day is what, April 1st, like everybody else?
Like everybody else.
All right.
I know some teams are on the 30th. I believe the Yankees are the first.
Now, when you say puts on a jersey, what does that mean?
That's like press conference intro, here's my jersey.
Oh, so he's not putting it on. He's
not
holding
like wear it
up.
I'm saying like introed as the Jets, part of the Jets.
Okay, so he's officially in the Jets fold, or Aaron Judge hits home run number 10.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me look up his game log from last year. Aaron Judge game log.
Good one.
This is a good one. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Game by game stats and performance last year. What do we got? All right. Here we go. He didn't have.
The Yankees start the 30th against the Giants.
He did not have his 10th home run last year. He did not have his. He didn't get his first home run until game six.
Oh, wow.
He didn't have three home runs until, I can't even count. He didn't even finish April with 10 home runs.
My thought behind this real quick is that.
So you're saying it's going to happen before the draft. Aaron Rodgers will be introduced.
Okay.
As,
and Judge will probably play like what? Like 17 games by the draft? Something like that?
Well, this isn't the NBA where he's going to be load managed.
I'm just saying, he'll have almost 20 games.
So Aaron Judge will play back to backs.
Just saying.
All right, good one. I sounded it out. I feel like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I came close to phoning a friend.
You going Rodgers?
And I went 50-50, and my 50-50 is I'm going Rodgers will be with the Jets first. They're going to get this thing done before the draft.
Sorry, folks.
What else, Chris? What do you got over there?
Oh, man, that makes
Yeah, because he's still not a Jet.
Okay. TJ, one of your favorite Cowboys in recent years, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes, sir.
Free agent. See who he's eyeing?
Jets.
Has his eye on the Eagles, Jets, and Bengals. Ooh-hoo. Who's more likely to make the Super Bowl this season, Ezekiel Elliott or the Cowboys?
Brockman is coming with the flame torch today.
Settle down just a little bit.
He's like Leo at the end of was it Brad Pitt who had the blowtorch?
No, it was Leo.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Rick Dalton, me, man. I'll go Zeke. just for
Eagles,
you know what?
Getting...
Yes, yes. Or the Eagles, dude. Zeke on the Eagles—that is what he should do.
That would be painful for you, right?
Oh, oh yeah, because then I'd have to boo that man. I want to boo that man, but I'd have to boo him at that point. You know?
Do you imagine they're all in green with wings on the side of his helmets?
No,
doing
Rich,
the,
I can't.
Doing the eat thing.
Feed
me.
Oh, no. Zeke said he wants to wear 15. He wants to go back to the Ohio State number.
Okay, well, he's certainly not signing in Kansas City then.
No, 15's available in Philly, by the way.
Okay. Who was the last 15 in Philly? I'll look that up another day. What else you got?
Okay. We've been talking a lot about these two wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham. Who goes deeper in the playoffs this year, D-Hop or Odell?
Right now?
Well, I'm just saying, in theory.
We don't know where either of these are going.
I understand this. I'm just saying. Like, think about it.
Should I just flip a coin?
Who goes further? Well, just think about who the rumored teams.
I'm going to go D-Hop because I'm here in Bills. Okay.
But and Odell, we're hearing Jets.
I don't know what I'm hearing out of him. I pay that no mind.
No, Jeff Darlington said it.
I love what Jeff Darlington has to say. Well, am I right? Magic 8-ball. This is totally.
Are you right about what?
Am I right that it's D-Hop?
Oh, okay.
Am I right that it's D-Hop? I shook it too hard. It's a lot of bubbles.
I shook it too hard.
You may rely on it.
D-Hop.
Says the Magic 8-Ball. I shouldn't shake it too much because that makes a lot of bubbles and I can't see the curve in there.
But you want to make sure it's accurate, so you know you got to do what you
got
to do.
What do you got over there, Chris? What else?
Okay, next one.
These are really good.
Okay, yesterday, Rich, you did your NFC top 5 quarterbacks.
I did.
All right.
When
Aaron Rodgers gets traded. All right, so who's more likely in your NFC top 5 to have the better season in 2023? Matthew Stafford or Derek Carr?
Matthew Stafford. Let's just be honest here. Turn down the music a little bit here because I need to hear myself think. I'm still have the my ears are still ringing from the SZA concert last night.
We need to talk about that, by the way.
No, you could turn it up, not turn it off. I still need
a little low. Just a little low,
Chris, you keep sleeping on the Rams.
I think they're obviously tanking.
You keep sleeping.
I'm not alone, by the way, in the NFL media.
It's so stupid.
I
hate using that word. How do you tank with Aaron Donald? I want Aaron Donald to come on this program. I'm going to reach out to the outstanding Los Angeles Rams organization and say, bring me Aaron Donald and ask him the question, are you tanking?
Well, he's not personally tanking.
You can't tank with Aaron Donald on your team and Cooper Kupp on your team and Matthew Stafford is your quarterback.
Those are three guys out of 22.
Sean McVay did not stick around to tank.
He knew he stuck around to coach Caleb Williams.
This is an insult. This question is insulting. It's insulting.
Oh, Derek Carr is going to have a better year than Matthew Stafford.
Matt, you said who's going deeper in the playoffs?
No, I said who's going to have a better season.
Okay. Matthew Stafford has Cooper Kupp on his team. And Cooper, get out of here.
All right. Let's write that down.
Write it down.
11 men out.
Sleeping on the Rams. The Rams had a dreadful season last year. What they did is they did pull the plug on the season last year when Stafford got hurt and Kupp got hurt. And why are they going to throw Aaron Donald out there to put more mileage on him when they want him to continue playing? They didn't even have a first-round pick. So what are you tanking for? To give a better pick to Detroit?
Next year,
it made all the sense in the world to play last year the way that they played it, after it played out. This year's a different story. Keep sleeping on them.
I'm sleeping.
What else?
Even though I renewed my tickets last week, Mike.
Of course you did.
All right.
Because you want to sell it to other people who are coming into town, you fair weather freak. This is how upset I am.
You're so mad.
Fair.
I don't know why.
Okay. Will Levis, we're going to talk about him in a second, has pro day today. All right. How about this? The more likely the NFL draft QB you'd most roll the dice on, Will Levis or Anthony
Richardson? I have to roll. That's the dice roll, bro. Come on now.
Pretty big dice roll.
Yeah, Richardson. Richardson's got that crazy, what's the phrase that Mayock used to use? Freaky athletic ceiling. Come on, man. That guy. I would roll the dice on that guy.
Will Levis today?
I have seen how rocked up he is, and he's terrific. I would roll. If you're talking about a dice roll, that's the one you roll the dice on. You got another one?
I assume the other guys are going to be good, right?
And I hope for Levis's sake How rare is it to have four quarterbacks taken in the first round and they're all terrific and they all pan out?
That's what I mean. Somebody's always a bust.
I understand that.
All right, a couple of hoops ones real quick. Paul George out a few weeks. LeBron maybe coming back. Not sure. Depends if you how you read into his tweets. More likely to go further in the playoffs. Lakers or Clippers?
Clippers. Because I don't know if LeBron's coming back.
I don't know if Paul George is coming back.
I don't know. I like the Clippers roster, you know, soup to nuts, more than I like the Lakers roster. Soup to nuts without Paul George than the Lakers roster without LeBron. How does that sound? I'll still tell you. And I don't even know if the Lakers are making it. There's that, too.
They've been hot.
I know that. What else?
All right, last one. What's more likely? Gonzaga finally wins a title. Or Alabama becomes a hoops superpower. Timmy.
But one you're talking about in the next 10 days and another one you're talking about in the next 5 years, right?
Well, Alabama could win the title this year.
Does that make them a superpower?
You win a title. It's pretty impressive.
I think Alabama wins the tournament.
You do?
Yes. Does that make them a superpower? If that does, then that's what's more likely. That's what's more likely.
I'll check back in 5 years.
I think Gonzaga might lose to UConn.
Really? UConn's been looking awesome.
How about that? And then I wake up tomorrow morning and Alabama's just lost to San Diego State.
Right. All right.
Thank you. Good job.
Enjoy your weekend.
Well done.
Nice.
Here's a good question for you while you're on that subject matter.
Of
the Clippers. Because the Clippers last night evened the week against Oklahoma City. I'm not really into this scheduling thing where, you know, they play back-to-backs in somebody's city, you know? I don't know. I guess at least if they separate it by a day, that means everyone's going to play instead of load manage. But last night, Kawhi went off.
Balling, man.
Yes. He was terrific. He had 15 in the first quarter, wound up with, what, 33 last night?
32.
And they won without Paul George. But SGA in the building. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander calls me, and he had another terrific night for them.
Yeah, he had 30.
Calls me to sit there and think, and I will ask you guys this question. What if Kawhi didn't demand Paul George come to Los Angeles to unlock him coming to Los Angeles himself?
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, I'll show up. You got me. Not going to go to the Lakers, not going to stay put in Toronto, not going to go somewhere else. I am going to go back home to Southern California, and I am going to go to the Clippers, and I have no demands for you to go get me a second player. I'll play with SGA. Where would they be today?
That's a good question, man.
Better off than what they currently
SGA
are.
SGA is a better basketball player than Paul George.
He's a different basketball player than Paul George.
We're playing the result a little bit.
Of course we are. That's SGA, what we do in sports talk radio, do we not?
SGA has really blossomed into a superstar.
He has.
Does he lead the league in 30-point games this year? I think it's...
He does it all, man. He's blocking shots.
Almost 32 a game.
He's up there, so... Yeah. Does he develop the same way?
Good question.
The last two seasons?
Don't know.
Kawhi around? I don't know, but it's a really interesting question. TJ, I think you'd be the first to admit it hasn't exactly worked out how you hoped the last couple of years with Paul George and Kawhi. Injuries have played a major factor there.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question, man.
I only asked those.
Got me
stumped.
Don't ever say that to Brock when it just makes him angry.
Well, Rich texted me that last night while we were, he was like, what about the SGA? I was like, whoa, that's really interesting.
No, I said, I'll never say that. Oh, you ask her good questions because
I'd rather
infuriate.
You just say thank you.
No. But I was sitting there thinking that as I watched, you know, the Clippers dominate the first quarter and then the Thunder even the score by halftime because SGA was going off.
Let's put it this way. If they don't make the trade, they're in no different spot than they are right now. So, you know.
I don't know.
That's a good one, bro.
I just think they... no disrespect to Paul George, even though I know I'm sounding disrespectful. I think they're a better team. But does SGA become the player that he is today? I definitely think so.
Right. Is SGA averaging what? What did you say?
Absolutely.
Is he at 32 a game?
Absolutely think so.
31.
I don't think I can say that. Seeing, I mean, I've watched a lot of Paul George on this team, and you gotta remember Kawhi's missed a lot of games too, and Paul has 1,000% put that team on his back multiple times.
If I'm not mistaken, Jerry West loved SGA.
SGA is averaging 34 points a game this month
for the Clippers. They loved him,
but the fact of the matter is Kawhi wasn't going to come.
I know that. So, oh, I totally know that.
No, we're kind of.
Kawhi knew, like, okay, I'm going to go to Los Angeles, and you know, LeBron has Anthony Davis, and everybody else has their number two or their 1A.
Like, we're assuming Kawhi is a crystal ball, and he's like, you know what? I think SGA is going to be a fantastic player. Let me just, keep SGA. Let's get this guy, and.
I mean, what if LeBron had not demanded that they trade their entire roster for Anthony Davis?
Yeah, exactly. They might be better off right now, right?
What if Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle and Kyle Kuzma were all still in the Lakers with LeBron?
And Lonzo. Maybe Lonzo doesn't get injured.
Forget it. Right?
That's a better team than the one that's currently they're trotting out.
There you go.
Yeah, I definitely am not going to say they'd be better without him. Different.
Maybe not better. I'm
not going to say they're better.
Different type of team.
They might have, Clippers might have the same number of banners as Taylor Swift in that building, right?
It's possible.
Okay. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll go out to the weekend talking about this Will Levis Pro Day that's lighting up Twitter. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Monster.com is there for you to go win your job hunt. Take your resume. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Take your resume. Go to monster.com. Upload it. Minute that happens, you can be recruited by employers on the spot because their employers are all over monster.com looking for people like you, perhaps, because they know that monster.com specializes in building the right teams for them, the employers. So they also then know how to match you with those job fits. And when you score the position, monster.com has a salary calculator that ensures you're paid what you're worth. Millions of job openings, great coaching, great career advice for this strong performance by you when it counts. So get off your couch right now. Go to monster.com. Win the job hunt. Monster.com. I guess if we already hadn't given out the Monster Athlete of the Week to Marquise Noel on Monday, we would give it out to Will Levis right now because you just take a look at his arms. He's a monster.
So huge.
He said that he was going to go throw at the combine because he's got a cannon. He wants to show it off. Well, today he has two of them. He looked more rocked up today than he did at the combine.
Agreed.
And I don't know. Did he get all greased up for the combine? Did he put something on?
Bodybuilding?
I don't know, man.
There, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I didn't see that.
He was letting it fly, too.
Now, there's more of a workout at the combine. I mean, at your pro day in the combine, because you got 50, 60 reps, and you're doing them fast, doing them quick. The combine, you're like, throw one, throw two, throw three, back of the line. So, at any rate, boy, did he look the part today. He's almost 6'4". His hands are 10 5/8". Which is
massive.
I mean, like you can lose the ball in your hand, in his hand.
Yeah, gigantic.
Hands. Right. So, I'd love for him to go to the AFC North, which means twice a year he'd shake Kenny Pickett's hands and go, "Wow."
Come on, why? You
I don't know why he had to catch a stray. I don't
you
know.
Do Pickett that's like
I'm sorry,
that, man.
That's because no, because last year the conversation was about his hand
over
size.
And over again,
right now, and you're talking about just as a comparison. And so I facetiously mentioned to Tom Pelissero, my colleague in the NFL Media Group, that the Carolina Panthers contingent that took Bryce Young out to dinner the day of C.J. Stroud's pro day, they went from Columbus, Ohio at C.J. Stroud's pro day and went directly to Tuscaloosa, Alabama and took Bryce Young out to dinner. And then on Bryce Young's pro day, we assumed, I guess you're going to go to Kentucky and take Will Levis out to dinner that night in the same way you took out C.J. Stroud out to dinner before his pro day. So how it goes is basically you fly in to Prospect A's place, take him out to dinner, watch Prospect A do pro day, fly to Prospect B that night, take him out to dinner, watch Prospect B's pro day, then fly to Prospect C's pro day location, take him out to dinner. And if Will Levis didn't get the dinner invitation, you know he's off the radar screen. Well, guess what? That Tepper credit card is doing some mad work.
Nice.
Will Levis did have a dinner.
All right.
My question is, if he doesn't think he's going for it, if Carolina doesn't really want to take him, if he feels that way, do you just order the Screaming Eagle and just go for it?
Yes.
Right? Screaming Eagle, by the way, it's the vineyard of Stan Kroenke.
Very expensive.
It's thousands of dollars. Do you just shoot the moon? Let me tell you something. Back in the day, John Walsh, legendary executive of ESPN, I'd always dreamt of working for ESPN and being taken to a meal by an ESPN executive. Mm-hmm. He took me to my first ever meal given by an ESPN executive. Differences in my mind's eye, I thought it would be just like what these guys are doing, you know, with the Teppers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dinner for 10, 15, just to honor, you know, me. And it would be a glorious meal. Clearly, I wasn't thinking straight. One-on-one executive, he took me to some greasy spoon diner that was down the road from Bristol, Connecticut's location of ESPN. And I looked at the meal and I said to myself, I looked at the menu. All right, this guy's going to at least spend $10 on me for lunch.
Okay.
Because the tuna sandwich I'm going to get was like $4.95. And the fries were going to like, so I kept on ordering one soda after another to make sure it was $10. Meal comes and basically it was free refills. $8 is what the man spent on me.
Wow.
And I tried. So if you're Will Levis, Screaming Eagle.
Rich, we can get a 2001 cab for $4,900.
Let's go for it. But they did take him to dinner, so he's got to be in the mix. And then he showed up all greased up and he's throwing 90-yard passes.
Bam.
Honestly, he made Ed Hockley look like Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe.
That's my analogy for really thin individual.
Well done.
It's an old gum. Like me.
Comics on the inside. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good gum.
So, Carolina, guess what? Take a day off, go to Gainesville, and take Anthony Richardson out to dinner because his pro day is Monday, when we'll see you next.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.